number three. All right, I should say Psalm 3, Psalm 3. The Bible says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear God, just thank you. Thank you so much for an awesome opportunity to meet with you and to really present your word. And Lord, I pray that your word would focus in on us directly, Lord, where we're at. God, I know there's so many different people at so many different points in life and so many different stages and things that they go through. But Lord, I pray that this message directly would apply to them in those specific areas. Lord, I don't know what everyone's going through. Lord, I don't know where everyone is tonight. God, I can only really speak for myself, but Lord, I know your word, this passage specifically, has spoken to me directly. Lord, I love you. Bless our time in your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was looking through this passage, I started really... as pastor, I talked to him yesterday and I asked him, you know, Pastor, can I be a help to you in any way? I want you to be able to be free to go see your mom. And he said, you know what, why don't you preach on Sunday night? And I was glad to. I was glad to help pastor in that way. And I was thinking to myself, all right, Lord, now what do I preach on? And God automatically, right when I asked him, he said Psalm 3. Psalm 3. Sometimes I can tell you, we are scheduled on a slot to preach, and really it's the last minute that God gives us something, but sometimes God just gives us something right off the bat. And it's something that he really just explodes your brain with. And it's just, this passage is so special to me. It's so unique in so many ways, and here's why. I believe that in this passage, we find David literally in between a rock and a hard place. If you read the kind of the caption before this psalm gets started, it says, "The Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son." What a terrible place to be in the first spot, to be fleeing from your own child. In fact, Absalom was seeking to kill David. He was seeking to put him away permanently, all right? And not only was that happening, but Absalom was gaining the favor of all the people. If you read in 2 Samuel chapter number 15, you'll find that Absalom is literally coming to a place where people are starting to side with him. And David recognizes this, and in verse number 2, he says, "Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him and God." In other words, even David's closest friends are probably murmuring, saying, David's in trouble. David's in big trouble here. He is in between a rock and a hard place, literally. And so when you think about this passage, I think that David is stuck. He just is stuck. He doesn't know what to do. He's running from his son, but there's really nowhere to go because all the people are starting to take favor with his son. And so David is stuck. Have you ever been there before? You're just stuck. And I know this is Missions Emphasis Month, and usually we focus on the mission itself. But sometimes you got to focus on the missionary. And I remember that song, just like I sang last week, "Be a Missionary Every Day." You remember that song growing up? You would learn that. But the fact is that we are to be a missionary. So this message is directly dealing with the missionary rather than the mission. You see, the mission is to reach the lost with the gospel of Christ. The mission to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. But sometimes we can't get out of our own way because we just feel stuck. We feel like the things in our life are just going in a certain direction that it's hard to even be happy. It's hard to even be joyful. It's hard to have a great perspective on life. It's hard to say, hey, salvation's of the Lord and God is good and man, rejoice in the Lord. It's hard to say that sometimes because you're stuck. Yesterday was a great day. We had a great time. I was using the bullhorn, which I probably didn't need. I'm a pretty loud guy. I probably didn't need it, but I liked it. You know, I liked it. It's like me during VBS. I like using the handheld microphone and walking around with it. I don't know. Maybe it's a sense of power. It's maybe a weird thing, but I don't know. It's weird, but I was using the bullhorn. It was a lot of fun, and I was setting off the siren accidentally on the thing. Well, I said accidentally, but I was setting it off on purpose. But anyway, I was having a good time with that. And yesterday, we got through everything, and you know, as I'm sure if you've been in charge of something going on, sometimes you just want to get to the end of it to make sure it goes okay. You know, sometimes you're just kind of treading on ice a little bit. You're just kind of making sure that everything goes well. And you know, there's an aspect of faith and trusting God and making sure that you're fully relying on Him. And then there's an aspect of your human flesh that says, you know, I need for everything to go perfectly. And I know Pastor DeWanna can probably relate with the Christian school, and I can sure some of you teachers and other workers in the church can relate, and maybe you at your job can relate, where there's an area of faith, but there's also an area of, if something goes wrong, this is all going to be on me, you know? So I was thinking about that the whole time, and man, we got through it, and there was no problems, and everything was well, and the gospel was preached, and man, it was just a great time, and the kids had fun. At least I think they had fun, but they had fun, and I had fun, and the workers, I'm sure, had more fun, and they were doing those. Have you guys ever seen the giant sumo suits, you know, that they put them in? The workers were doing that before the kids even got there, so I'm sure they had a blast with that. And Matt Belcher, he made this giant field goal post, and there was a field goal kicking competition, and my dad actually, I think, kicked the longest one, which was crazy. And but anyway, we were just having a good time. We were having a great time. So we get to the end of the event, and we're having a blast, and we're starting to pack up the stuff, and we're getting everything packed up pretty fast, you know? And Jimmy said, you know, why don't you put some of the stuff in the basement? We'll get it tomorrow. And so we did that. So we're driving back to the church, and I'm driving the red van, and I'm honestly just praising God. I'm like, God, this is great. You did something awesome. You're an awesome God, and this is great. And I am high, you know, on the spirit there. You know, I'm just like at a high point in my life. And I'm praising God. We get back to the church. I'm a little tired, but I'm still praising. And we were putting the chairs away. And I had pulled up the van on the side of the property there. And I pulled it right up to the gym doors, making it a little bit easier on us to pull the chairs off and everything. And I'm sitting there. And as we finish up, I decide, okay, I'm the last one at the church. I was like, all right, I'll lock up. And I get in the car. And I did something really stupid. Really, really stupid. And I'm in this big 15-passenger van, and I'm like, you know what? I'm on the edge of the gym, and I know there's a little ramp on the side. So instead of backing up and going through where I came in from, I'm going to go around the gym and go down the ramp, and it'll be all great, and I'm just going to pull right off the property. And you're like, yeah, what's wrong with that? Well, as I'm pulling up, and I was going to actually back down the ramp because, you know, if you try to pull off, you might flip over. So I was going to kind of back down the ramp, you know, kind of nice and easily. It's actually funny because I actually thought of my daughter. She doesn't go down the stairs, you know, feet first. She kind of goes backwards and backs down the stairs. And I was thinking, that's kind of what I'll do with the van here. I'll just back down the ramp. But as I was backing down, the tires kind of got stuck. And I was like, oh, you know what? I better go over by the dumpster. Better just go off by the dumpster. Some of you are shaking your head because you know how soft the ground is over by the dumpster. So the dumpster has these low curbs, and it's almost like a temptation, like, come on, bring it. I dare you to. And so I'm pulling the red van over there, and I'm like, oh, this is going pretty good. And all of a sudden, like, I stopped going forward. And I'm 5 feet. I mean, maybe 10. But I'm basically from here to the piano, so I guess it's about 10 feet away from the curb. And I'm like, just come on. Come on. And of course, I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm hitting the gas, you know. And the wheel's spinning, and I see smoke going up behind me. And I'm like, oh, man. I was stuck. And I remember just, oh, man, I'm going to have to call my dad. He just left. Thank you, Daddy. So I called my dad, and we were digging. You know, I'll get to that at the end. But we should have. But my dad, we're trying to dig out the wheel, because literally half of the wheel was covered in dirt by that time, because I'm an idiot. But I was stuck. I can tell you, it's not fun being stuck. It's not fun being stuck. David knew what it was like to be stuck. Many times in his life, David would be stuck. Do you remember earlier in David's life when he was really the musician for Saul? Do you remember he actually knew he was going to become king? He actually knew it. He had already been ordained, so to speak, to become king next. But he was just waiting for Saul to die, basically. And he's just serving, not doing anything wrong. He's serving. Actually, he's doing something for Saul. And Saul decides to pick up a javelin and just toss it at him. Like, what? David was chased after by the king. He knew what it was like to be stuck. So in this passage, I quickly want to see three lessons that we can learn from being stuck. From being stuck. First, I really want to see that there are times of trouble. There are times of trouble. There are times of trials in our life. There's times of trouble in our life. I remember hearing this story. This is a great story. There's a man by the name of Eric Wiehenmeyer. And this man in 2001 accomplished something that only about 150 people do every year. He was able to climb Mount Everest. But the difference about this man was he was blind. He was blind. And what was so interesting about reading the story is just the obstacles that he would have to go through and the way that he had to climb the mountain as a blind man. And I thought to myself, sometimes we feel like we're going through this life blindly. And we don't really see what's ahead. God knows, but we don't see what's ahead. And sometimes God, I truly believe, puts these trials in our lives and things in our lives to grow us and to help us to learn and help us to become more like Jesus Christ. And as we go through these things, we understand that there are troubles in life. And just like this blind man, Eric, was climbing Mount Everest blind, there are obstacles in life. And just so you know, David was not unique to the human race. David got stuck in situations. He got stuck in really bad situations. But you, like David, are at some point in your life going to feel stuck, because there is a truth that there are times of trouble. And I know that this is our missions emphasis month, but even in our work in missions, or getting the love of Jesus Christ out, or getting the gospel of Jesus Christ, understand, you'll come into times of trouble. You'll come into times of hardship. I remember talking to Jimmy during the month of July at the Wilds, and he was going through some of the trouble that he had for simply talking about the gospel with his bosses. Some of the trouble that he had. And I thought, you know what, that's perfect. Because when you think about that, that was a growing time for him. And I was thinking about David, how this was going to be a growing time for him. This was going to be a time where, yes, he was already king, and yes, God had brought him through many battles, even the battle of Goliath by this time, but there's still so much more growing to do. And understand, no matter where you are in your life, what point you're at, there's going to be times of trouble. I see, first of all, the increase of turmoil. Verse number one, it's clear to see, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? It just wasn't one thing. It just seemed like my son is chasing after me. The people are favoring him, one thing after another. And we don't know all the odds and ends of David's life this time, but we get the idea that this wasn't the only thing going on. There were other troubles in his life, other things happening to where he really felt like he was at rock bottom. He was stuck. I see the increase of turmoil, and I believe this can happen in the life of the Christian, maybe from outside sources. Maybe it's problems in your family. Maybe it's problems at the job. Maybe it's problems within your own life, not just from outside sources, but inside sources. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 42. I can tell you that David struggled at times. David seriously struggled. We see David even in this in this passage, it says, to the chief musician. But this undoubtedly has the theme and ideology of a Psalm of David. Take a look at this. I can see almost anxiety in the life of David here. Verse number 5, it says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. In verse number, verse number 9, it says, I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Have you ever felt like that in life? God, why have you forgotten me? I don't understand why I'm going through these things. Why? Because there are times of trouble. And there are sometimes outside sources that show us this trouble, but sometimes it comes from within. And I know there are many people that struggle with this anxiety, almost like this attack within yourself, and it's the devil's working. And I can tell you that even David struggled with this type of turmoil in his own life. And he says, my soul, why are you disquieted? In other words, why are you discomforted? Why are you so depressed? And his spirit is almost talking to his soul here. And men at the prayer advance, I heard the best message on this psalm last year. It was amazing about anxiety and dealing with anxiety. I was thinking to myself, sometimes the turmoil isn't from outside, but it's from within. Have you ever felt like that? Where you just can't have that joy of the Lord because it's just like every step, it's just you're depressed. It's just like you can't seem to look past the problems. I see the increase of turmoil, but if we go back to the third psalm, I see indelible remarks. Verse number 2 says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. This is a remark that David will remember. Maybe it was someone close to him. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a family member. Maybe it was someone else that he overheard saying, there's no help for God in that man. And that would stick in his brain, and that would kind of take its root inside of his heart, and this remark would just keep coming up over and over again. Have you ever been there too, where someone has said something, and you just can't get past it? You just can't get through it? And it's just stuck. It's like it almost like pushes you down and holds you there. I remember one week, came into church. And I don't want to be very specific, but I do want to say someone said something to me. And I remember thinking to myself, why did they say that? Why did they say that? Why did they choose the day that I've come to worship my Savior to say that? You know, Christian, it's interesting how we don't realize how big effect our words have on others. Our words have a big effect. And you know they can go for the negative, but they can also go for the positive. What's really interesting is I find in Proverbs 16:4 is that pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You know what I really love? I really love when someone comes in and they just encourage you. You can't get around them without them encouraging you. You can't get by them without them saying something nice to you. I mean, I can tell you it's pleasant. It's energizing. And I wonder if our words are energizing, if they're pleasant like a honeycomb to someone else, or if our words are almost those words that will hold someone else down in the place where they are. The words that David would remember, the words of people that said, there's no help for God in that man. But you've been there. You know what it feels like to be stuck? Because there are times of trouble. But I find one little word that's going to change this. At the end of verse number 2, you'll find this little word, Selah. Selah is a very interesting word, and in fact, really, scholars can't pinpoint exactly what it means, but they know it's musical. They know it's musical. Many scholars side on the fact of it, it's a pause, it's a breath note, it's a pause note. But other scholars will say, well, actually, what that is a changing key. But other scholars will go a different direction and they'll say, well, really what it means is retuning your instrument, retuning your instrument. So we know that David played the harp and maybe there was a time where he had to kind of retune his instrument to go to a different key. So in this passage, all the above are in effect. Maybe David stopped. Maybe he paused. Maybe he thought about it. And he understood the time of trouble. And he understood what was happening in his life. And he understood what was around him. But he stopped and he thought about it. He paused. And you can almost see a key change. And I know in music, and I love music. And I love conducting the choir. I love it. Because music is so amazing, the way it moves you. And the way that when you think about the words in music, they're powerful. They're powerful. And you can almost see a key change here. And you can almost see the flow of the music beginning to change. Because in verse number 3, here's what he says. But thou. And he stops from relating his trouble to all the world. And he stops from relating what he was going to. And he thinks about God. And he stops and he says, I know I'm stuck. I know where I'm at. I know what people are saying. I know what's going on. But God. There's a change in key. There's a retuning. There's a pause. And he comes to a different approach, number 2. He comes, we need a different approach. It's, but thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. My glory and lifter of mine head. You see, you didn't hear that in the first 2 verses. You didn't hear about God in the first 2 verses. You didn't hear about how God was a helper. You didn't hear about how God was a lifter up. You didn't hear about how God was our glory. You didn't hear that. You just heard about the trouble. But there's a change. And he takes a different approach. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, a lifter of mine head. I was thinking about the fact that in this passage, David stops, he pauses, and he recognizes the Lord's presence. And although the presence of trouble is still there, he understands that the presence of the Lord is as well. Sometimes I think that's what we need to remember, is that I'm going through this difficulty, I'm going through this trial, this tribulation, but God's presence is ever abiding. And that's why we can say, but thou, O Lord. And we can all pause and change our key and say, but thou, O God. I was thinking about this passage, a lifter, or this phrase, a lifter of mine head. A couple months ago, Evelyn was crying and she started doing this thing. And all kids do it. And it's really interesting. She started to do this pouting thing, you know? And she does this too. When she cries because she doesn't get her way, she goes, and I'm like, where did you get that from? Must be from your mom. No, I'm just kidding. But that's not going to settle well. All right. Love you, honey. So I was thinking about this, and I saw her do this, and I took her little chin, and I lifted it up, and I said, there's no need to cry. There's no need to cry. And immediately, God put this verse, a lifter of mine head. I was thinking, I don't know if that's what he's saying. I don't know if that's the background. But for me, in this application, it works. A lifter of mine head. And God looks and says, don't you remember? Don't you remember I'm here? And this is what David says. He's a lifter of mine head. He hears my cry. And I see not only that David recognizes the Lord's presence, but he recognizes the Lord's patience. The Lord's patience. He says in verse number 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. And what's really interesting about this passage is that I understand what it's like now to be a dad, and your children come to you with the continual same request. And here's what I mean. Back on the 4th of July, my wife will remember this, but the 4th of July, we were heading to, we were heading to the Brower's house. Memorial Day? Memorial Day, yes. We were heading to the Brower's house for Memorial Day, and I can remember as we were leaving their house, my daughter used to call the wheels on the bus shoo-shoo. I don't know why. I think it was had to do with the wipers on the bus. Go swish, swish, swish. So she kind of connected with that, and she used to call that song shoo-shoo. And she used to go like this. And she used to, we put it on our phone specifically because Evelyn kept asking for it to be played. And so we were in the car, and I actually pulled my phone out to record this. She's sitting in the back seat, and she goes, Daddy, shoo-shoo on, please. And she would wait. Daddy, shoo-shoo on, please. Daddy, shoo-shoo on, almost same tone, almost same diction, everything. I mean, everything the same. Like, it's almost like a dog barking at the same exact, like, tone of bark. That was my daughter. And you, well, why didn't you just put it on? Because it was too cute to stop, you know. It's just, Daddy, shoo-shoo on, please. And then eventually, Daddy! Shoo, shoo, on, please. It's almost like I couldn't hear her. And what's really interesting is we feel like that sometimes with God. God, don't you hear? And what's unique here is that the Lord was patient with David. He heard me out of his holy hill. He heard me. The Lord was patient with him, even when David was almost not trusting. In verses 1 and 2, we don't see a lot of trust there. He was human. He showed human qualities. He showed this man-like distrust of the situation he was going through. But we see the Lord's patience because he hears David. In another passage, you'll find that God bows down his ear to us, almost like a dad with a child. And when he comes home at the end of the day, man, I can tell you that it warms my heart when my daughter comes up. She says, Daddy, play with me. Play with me. And I wonder if this is what the psalmist understood. When he wrote the words that he bows his ears down to us. He hears us. I believe that God truly takes pleasure in his children speaking to him. Just like a father takes pleasure in their children talking to them and talking back to them. And it's really interesting as a dad, all these things that I'm starting to understand about God. And David, he takes a different approach here. In verse number 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. And here it is again, Selah. And so now we're going to have another pause, and we're going to have another retuning of the instrument maybe, and maybe another key change. And we see that God can change the heart. God can change the heart. Because in verses 1 and 2, he's so worried about his kingdom. But verses 3 and 4, he fixes his eyes on the Lord's presence and the Lord's patience. And now we see that God changes the hearts. In verse number 5 through 8, he says, I laid me down to sleep and I waked, for the Lord sustained me. This is a different guy from verses 1 and 2. This is a different type of voice. This is a different type of outlook on things. Basically, David is saying, listen, I went to sleep and I woke up and I'm still alive. I'm still here. So God is good. And this is different from the man who is saying, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? It's different. There's a change. And who did that? God did. You see, David in this passage, he has a thankful remembrance. He thinks back and he says, you know what, God? Things aren't so bad. You got me up this morning. I'm here. You bless me. Man, my child might be coming after me, but I have a child. You know, I mean, that's a blessing. I don't know. I don't know what David was thanking the Lord about. But I think very quickly, if you'll turn with me to Leviticus chapter number 3, this is kind of the idea. Leviticus chapter number 3, and as I turn there, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Leviticus. All right. Not Leviticus, I'm sorry. You know what I said? I was thinking Lamentations. Why did I put down Leviticus? Lamentations. Leviticus, man, I am all over the map. I blame it on the Harvest Festival. Lamentations chapter number 3. Lamentations chapter number 3, I'm sorry. Jeremiah literally had just gone through the siege of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. And he goes through lamenting almost like David was in verse number 1 and 2. But in chapter number 3, something changes. Why? Because in verse number 21, he says, this I call to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Verse number 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Do you recognize who's changing the heart here? It's the Lord. It's always been about the Lord when it comes to changing the heart. Verse number 5, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. It's really interesting to me that we find this thankful remembrance even though David was stuck. We find this change of heart even though he was in a bad place. Why? Because when his heart started focusing on God, things change. My friends, if you're stuck, if you don't feel like you can look up and it just seems like you can't rejoice. You come into the church and you can't smile. You see your friends and you just can't be yourself. I can tell you one thing. Everybody goes through trouble. But the difference is God can change the heart. God can change the perspective if we just get our eyes fixed on him. He had a fixed heart in verse number 7. Verse number 7 of Psalm 3. Actually, verse number 6, he says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. He's fixed completely on the Lord there. Psalm 112, 5 through 8, you don't have to turn, I'll read it for you. It says, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. That's a man whose heart is fixed on God. I see a thankful remembrance. I see a fixed heart. But in verse number 8, my last point today, I see a retuned perspective. A retuned perspective. Verse number 1, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Verse number 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Something is completely different. Something's changed. The perspective is retuned. It's changed. It's gone from out of whack to back in line again. You know what's really interesting? My dad and I were sitting there trying to dig the wheel out. We shoved a big metal bar underneath the wheel. I was standing on it like this. You know, my dad was going, we did some funny things. And my dad would probably say, that's all stuff that you're supposed to do. But I was just sitting back like, all right, I'll do whatever you want, Dad, you know. But then he's like, you know what? Let's call my friend Gary, my friend Gary Gant. and he'll bring his 4x4 and he'll pull the van out. So 5 minutes later, it's 11:35 at night. Here comes Gary driving up. About 2 seconds later, we're out of the ditch. 2 seconds later. And I thought, why didn't we do that in the first place? Why didn't we just do that? You know what's really interesting? We could try as hard as we can to get unstuck, so to speak. To get out of that hole. We can try, we can dig, we can do everything we can. But ultimately, Christian, it's only through the Lord that we'll get out of that tight spot. We tried our hardest to get out of that hole. But until Gary came along, we couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Missions work can't be done in the life of a stuck Christian. But maybe God is waiting to use that stuck Christian as an example of how he can pull them out. I love this example of David. God sustained him. But man, we recognize there was definite trouble. David was in trouble and he felt it and he knew it. What stuck situation is God trying to use in your life? Maybe that's the missionary story that we need. Maybe that's the missions message that you need tonight. You say, well, I want to go out, but I just feel so down. I feel down and out. My troubles are weighing me down. Maybe it's time for a change of key. Maybe it's time for a new perspective. Maybe it's time to look and say, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. But God. You know what's really interesting is that we were stuck in another situation, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That situation was pretty dire. We had no hope. Bound for an eternity in hell, but God. Do you see every situation that we were stuck in? You see how God pulls us out? And it's only through God's help. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we could be saved. It's only by God's help that David could get through this mess. It's only by focusing and keeping a new perspective on God that he could get out from being stuck. Are you stuck tonight? Are you stuck? Do you need help? Maybe tonight it's time for you to come to the altar and say, but God, but thou are a shield for me. You're the lifter of my head. You're the one I need to focus on. You're the one I need to get back in touch with. Maybe before you get to the missions work, this is what needs to happen. Maybe you just can't give because you just feel so weighed down. But thou, O Lord. But thou, O Lord. I hope this has been a blessing to you. As we close tonight, 2015 was a pretty rough year. It's a pretty hard year for us. In perspective, I'm sure you've had harder. I understand that. But for us, 2015 wasn't easy. Me and my wife would probably join together and say it was probably the toughest year of our life. And I know there are harder years coming. I understand that. I know you've had harder years. I don't want to make light of my year. But I had a pretty tough year. That chapter kept me preaching. That psalm kept me moving. Those eight verses, I should say, kept me focused. Those verses changed the key in my life. I hope they were a blessing to you. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear God, just thank you so much for this awesome day you've given us in your word. Lord, I know this wasn't necessarily about missionaries and things of that effect, but Lord, we can't do the work of missions in the church if we're stuck. If we're just held down. But God, you can pull us out. So, Lord, I pray that if there's any stuck tonight, maybe this chapter would be a blessing to them. Lord, I pray that you'd work on hearts now as the invitation takes place. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.